Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey. For the next hour, join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. Finances, raising children, and dealing with your husband through his tough times and yours. This is the place to be as Maria and her guests bring you a wealth of information on all of these topics. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
It's looking a little like winter, isn't it? All around the country. But spring break's just around the corner, so everybody come to Florida. That's what we're all saying down here, that everybody has come to Florida because it just, man, our roads are so busy. But if you are in one of the cold places of the country, then pull up a chair, grab some hot chocolate or a cup of coffee, and listen in for the next hour as we discuss some interesting and cool topics all related to you as a mom, your child, and all things parenthood here on Mom Talk Radio. I'm happy you're here. I'm excited to get into another week. And I want to thank our sponsor right off the top, Pre-Mama. Pre-Mama is the complete vitamin powder that you can mix into your juice or into your smoothie in the morning. It's got all of the prenatal vitamins that you need. You can find it at Target.com. You can go to drinkpremama.com, and it's got all those essential vitamins that you and your developing baby need. So it's February, and your kids probably need coats, maybe. Or maybe you're thinking, oh, you know what, we'll stock up for next year. Well, check out monstercoats.com. There's a special 35% off promo code. Just put in the word February. And if you haven't seen Monster Coats, they are like, they're hilarious looking, and kids love them. They're furry coats that keep your kids warm and make them a fashion statement on the playground. So, I've been hearing a lot about gyms who are advertising discounts because everybody fell off the bandwagon of their New Year's resolutions. And I don't know about you, but February and March seems like one of those months where suddenly you start thinking about getting back into your bathing suit. So I ordered, then this isn't an ad, I just ordered it because I've had some success in the past. I ordered the 21-day challenge from Beachbody. So I'm going to start it today. And how about for the next 3 weeks, I'll give you the update. I figured 21 days, I can do anything for 21 days, right? But this one actually comes with an eating plan and a 30-minute workout video, which I can definitely do 30 minutes because I do an hour now. But I need it every now and then. You got to shock your body and change it up. So I'll be updating you on that as the weeks go by. And Easter's right around the corner. So if I can lose weight now, that means I can eat all of those Reese eggs that I so badly desire when the Easter season finally gets here. So we have got a great show lined up for you today. We are going to be talking about keeping your children healthy. We're going to be talking about keeping them safe. We're going to do some interesting illustrations, I guess verbal illustrations, with some of our guests today, talking about their views on parenthood and such. And when we return, we're going to kick it all off with the testing dad. He's a guy who tests a lot of products for us, and he's going to be talking, he's not going to be testing a lot of products, he's going to be talking about testing our children and how our children do on test. Michael McCulley will be here when we return.
Even super moms need a little advice. Here's yours. More of Mom Talk Radio.
So all of our children at one time or the other have been tested, and some of us even test our children to see if they are gifted or talented. And in fact, did you know that it takes as much effort to educate a talented child and a gifted child as it does a regular child? And we're joined today by the testing dad. He is Michael McCurdy, and he first became interested in testing, kindergarten testing, when his daughter arrived home one day from pre-K with a note in her backpack. Since then, he's made it his passion. He has a website, a blog that is extremely popular, and he's here to talk to us today on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Michael, to Mom Talk Radio.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me today.
So tell me a little bit about, first of all, your blog is called NYC Gifted and Talented. So will you tell me a little bit about your interest in the whole, like, gifted and talented world?
Yes, definitely. When my daughter was four, she took the gifted and talented test here in New York City, and she did very well on the test. And then after she, we got the scores back, we realized that she was eligible for a gifted and talented seat here in New York. And we went through the process, and it was a real struggle finding information out there about the process for New York City. So I started a blog and started writing about the process and what parents go through in New York City to educate other parents. And soon the blog took on a life of its own, and I had thousands of visits to my blog every day, just documenting everything I've been through over the last few years. Now my daughter is actually 10 years old, so I've been doing the blog for 6 years now.
So, you know, I think every parent believes that their child is gifted or talented in some area. Whether it's New York or it's other states, just from your experience and the responses on your website, what challenges do you face if you do find that your child has special skills?
I think the biggest challenge that parents face is actually finding a program that does have some sort of accelerated learning involved, mm-hmm. or a gifted and talented program. Luckily, I'm here in New York City, so gifted and talented actually starts in kindergarten, whereas many other schools around the nation, the gifted and talented programs may start later, like second or third grade, or they may not even start until high school for advanced placement. And so in any school district that has a large population of students, there most likely will be some gifted and talented program. So those are the challenges that parents face, is finding a program that fits specifically to their child's needs. Now, one of the biggest challenges that parents have is, you know, is my child just gifted in math? Is my child just gifted in reading or writing? And so these programs may or may not specialize depending on where you live. So it really varies from school district to school district and state to state.
Yeah. And you know what? You're so right. I remember when I was taking my kids to a new school and I was doing the tours and stuff, I asked one teacher, I said, so what do you do with the kids? You know, they were talking about like the slow readers and all of these kind of remedial programs. And I said, well, what do you do with the kids who have special talents in the subject? And I remember I cringed when she said, oh, well, you know, we normally just stick them over there in the corner and we let them work at their own pace. And I was just like, ugh, you know, like, because that's not really what you want to hear. Every child has, quote, special needs. And sometimes that special needs is special, just, you know, the opportunity to learn at a different pace, correct?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And like, to your point, many classes, when they have, you know, if they're in just a regular kindergarten, first, second, or third grade, the teacher, to your point, would say, okay, we will put you in the corner. You can read on your own. You can kind of go at your own pace. But I've heard even other stories where students who are gifted or advanced learners actually help the teacher teach the class. So you
right,
could have
yeah.
a young student who's going to school to actually help a teacher teach the class.
Right. And then you kind of like, is that really what you're paying tuition for or sending your child to go to school? So how do you find that parents identify resources in their local community for a gifted program?
Yeah, the first step is to actually go to the school's website or the school district's website, look for information on the gifted and talented program, and then also contact your local zone school to see if they actually have a gifted and talented program within the elementary school or another elementary school that may be in their local area. Now, many schools, they may have a pull-out session where they pull kids out during the school day, so the children may get 1 or 2 or 3 hours a week into an advanced placement arena. And then mm-hmm. some schools actually have dedicated classrooms where the entire class is gifted and talented, so the whole entire school day is a gifted and talented classroom. So it really varies from school to school and school district to school district. And then also, once you find that out, you need to find out which test is actually going to be administered to your child. And usually most schools will tell you, but some schools won't.
Yeah, I was lucky enough that my private school actually allowed my children to leave the school to go to a public school to go to the gifted program and come back halfway through the day. So there are options out there. And I know, Michael, you have a lot of them listed on your website. We have about 60 seconds. Can you just throw that website and blog name out to everybody?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So I launched a website called testingmom.com with Karen Flynn, who is the testing mom. She's a New York Times bestselling author. And we actually have 100 free questions. All the parents can go to our website and get instantly. And then they can get an assessment of where their child stands to see how they actually perform on these practice questions. And they're absolutely free.
Well, thank you so much. And we have a link to testingmom.com on Mom Talk Radio. When we return, we'll turn our attention to Carla Call, who has a blog called theshowershimmy.com. Interesting to talk to the moms who we spotlight on this section of the show, this segment of the show section. Where did I get that from? Anyways, so here we are on the spotlight on moms. And today we're putting the spotlight on Carla Call. She's the mother of four who has a really cool idea and invention. And you're probably going to see a lot of her as she launches it onto Kickstarter. So welcome, Carla, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about your product and your website and the shower shimmy.
Well, I came up with the idea of the shower shimmy while cleaning my shower one day the traditional way. And as you know, cleaning the shower is a really daunting task, and I had to ventilate the room and put on rubber gloves and gather the sponges, rags, grout scrubber, squeegee, and cleaning solution I'd need to get the job done. And when I'd finished the task, my clothes were wet, and my eyes and lungs were burning, and I was fed up. And I thought to myself, wouldn't it be great if there was a tool that is to showers and tubs what the Swiffer wet jet is to floors? And I began thinking about what that tool would look like, and I knew it would hold cleaning solution inside, and that it would have a heavy-duty scrubbing sponge and bristles to attack the grout in corners, and that it would have a squeegee. Mm-hmm. And I also thought it would be nice if it had a hanging hook so that you could hang it in the shower just like you do a squeegee. So I went online to look for this product, and when I couldn't find it, I then got really curious to see if it had been invented before. So I went on the USPTO website and spent about 40 hours looking for this product. And when I couldn't find it anywhere, I took my idea to my friend who was a patent attorney who did an in-depth search, and he couldn't find it either. And so I knew I had a novel idea at that point with potential, and went and had a CAD file made. And then after that took about 5 months, and then prototype my tool. And
wow.
When we
it's
were
doing, very cool.
Yeah, it took a while.
It's very cool. I'm on your website.
Thank you. And once we were done prototyping the tool, we felt like before we went into the next phase, which was mass production, that we needed to get some market research to see whether or not this tool was worth spending the money and going to the next phase. So we made a little infomercial, and we had some market research done, which showed that the tool did have appeal. And so the next hurdle was gathering investors, and then we had the tooling made, which you need in order to mass produce a product, and paid for the first half of the first production run. And at that point, we then needed more money. And so we decided to launch a Kickstarter campaign.
And has that already, have you started that campaign?
Yes, that happened January 5th through February 17th. So we're just a week past our Kickstarter campaign. And our campaign was really successful. We reached our funding goal within 20 hours of having launched on Kickstarter. And it created a lot of buzz for us. And we got Good Morning America called us. We've had distributors from around the world that are interested in the tool now, big box stores, which were things that we didn't expect to get through launching a Kickstarter campaign. So that it's been really exciting and just a wonder. It's been a great experience.
And so, so where can moms currently buy it? Just on your website, or?
So right now it's on our website, and it's at theshowershimmy.com. But we are now in talks with major distributors and big box stores. Kickstarter has a rule that you're not allowed to sell anywhere while you're doing a campaign. So, like I said, we're just a week off of that. Right. But we're hoping to be able to get it into stores soon.
So, so how does it feel to become an accidental inventor just out of the fact you wanted to clean your bathroom?
Well, my husband, you know, when I started this, I also run a dance studio, and so he actually made a rule. It was like a one weird thing at a time rule, because when I started working on this tool and then this cleaning solution, it is kind of a crazy thing to become an accidental inventor. But I think as moms and women who use these products every day, we have a better feel for that than anyone else, and we're the primary buyers for all of these products.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So... So let everybody know before we let you go where they can buy it. Listen, get out there and support another mom. I mean, four kids in a dance studio. She needs your support with this product. Where can we go to buy it?
So it's at theshowershimmy.com, theshowershimmy.com.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck and congratulations on all your success. We'll keep an eye on you, and we'll hope we see you on Good Morning America and in our local big box stores. When we return, we're going to be talking with a New York City acupuncturist. Have you ever thought about babies and acupuncture?
Mothers of America, this hour belongs to you. It's Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
You know, we've all heard about acupuncture, and we've thought, oh, well, maybe I'll try it on myself for your aches, pains, and well-being. But have you thought about your baby? And we actually are joined today by Jennifer Tavares. She is the creator of the Holistic Baby Acupressure System. She is passionate about extending the reach of the Chinese medicine to baby and children. She joins us from New York City, where she has maintained a private Chinese medicine practice in New York since 2000, and she treats both children and adults. So welcome, Jennifer, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you, Maria.
So first of all, can we take a step back and talk about acupuncture before we talk about acupressure systems? Most people just think of images of like laying on your stomach and having a whole bunch of needles stuck in your back, but can you maybe dispel some myths and really give us some better clarity?
Well, that is very true for adults. When I have adults come into my office for a session, they will, you know, be on their backs or, on their stomachs, and they will get, you know, a number of needles and retain them, you know, sometimes for, you know, up to a half an hour. But that's not necessary for children. Children can be, you know, safely and very effectively treated with acupressure alone, without the use of needles. They respond, you know, very quickly. And as I found over the years, you know, through my work with parents, the parents can be taught techniques and they can use those in their home, you know, with great results, you know, for both sleep and for the most common health conditions.
Okay. So, sleep and babies has like two words in it that never go together, but we wish it did. So you can talk, can you tell us a little bit about how those two are related?
Sure. In Chinese medicine, how we address sleep in children is we work to strengthen their digestive energies. Most issues with sleep, you know, when they have a basis in that there's something energetically wrong, it's due to there being something going on with the digestive function. And so when people come to me, you know, with a baby who's having sleep issues, that's not resolved, you know, with behavioral modification methods. We always go and we work on their digestion. And with the holistic baby acupressure system, it has two branches, and the sleep system is comprised of five protocols. And the first protocol is a 24-hour protocol that balances the energy in all 12 acupuncture meridians. And it stems from my very early work using a jet lag protocol to reset the body clock. And then there are four additional sleep protocols that work to address sleep imbalances according to the five elements. And in Chinese medicine, we use this paradigm of balancing wood, fire, earth, metal, and water. And so I have a protocol that addresses, you know, restlessness due to a fire-water imbalance. Another one for digestive problems that are due to an earth-wood imbalance. Another for an imbalance due to earth-metal imbalance that results in coughing. And finally, one for reflux or an earth-fire imbalance. So when there are imbalances in these elements, it can result in there being a great deal of trouble with sleep.
Wow. So do you have an example of a success story you could share with us?
Sure. I had a mom who came to see me, and she had a baby who was waking up repeatedly through the night and would be up for hours. And they had gone to the doctor, and you know they were not able to determine you know what was you know the source of you know the problem. And so she did the alternative protocol to adjust the balance between the earth and the wood elements, you know, to work on the digestive energies. And with just, you know, a short amount of time, her daughter was still waking up at night, but was able to immediately go back to sleep. And so, you know, this allowed for both, you know, daughter and mom, you know, to be able to, you know, get much more sleep and be much healthier. Most people, when they do the protocols, they find that the regulation of the sleep improves, the pattern of the sleep, like the length of the naps will increase, you know, or there'll be a decline in the number of wake-ups. I never set out with a definition of what sleep success is, mm-hmm. because I know every family has their own particular parenting philosophy. And so I let them define success, but when they use the protocols, you know, most people find that it does help to improve the pattern of sleep.
Yeah, I think that so many people do have a different definition of sleep because, you know, you get these moms that'll tell you, oh, my child has been sleeping through the night since he was 6 months old. And you just think to yourself, okay, well, how many hours? And then they tell you four, you know, and I'm like, okay, that's not a definition of sleep to me, but...
Exactly.
So we just have another minute left. Can you tell everyone about your website and what they'll find there?
Well, on my website, you will find links to purchase my book, The Holistic Baby Acupressure System. Also, there's a link to purchase my instructional DVD. And I just want to, you know, point out that, you know, the second component of my book and my work are all of the wellness protocols, which help with teething pain, constipation, cough, you know, the most common childhood illnesses. And I also have an amazing well baby protocol that parents can do every day, and it helps strengthen digestion, strengthen the immune system, and just ensure good growth and development. And I've had people that have used this with their preemies out of the hospital and have gotten an amazing results, you know, just keeping them strong and intact.
Yeah, and it's very interesting. So the website is holisticbabysleepsystem.com. We have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio. Jennifer, thank you so much for spending some of your time with us today on Mom Talk Radio. And when we return, we're going to tell you how toddlers thrive. What can you do as a parent today to help plant the seed for lifelong success for your toddler?
Even supermoms need a little advice. Here's yours. More of Mom Talk Radio.
You know, many of us, we know we read books on our babies, but then, you know, our babies get to be toddlers and now they're moving and sometimes we don't have time to read. But this is one important book that really lays the framework for how your toddler thrives and what you can do as a parent for your children that actually lay a foundation for the whole lifestyle. Author Tova Klein is here to talk about her book, How Toddlers Thrive. And she has many years of experience. She has raised three boys of her own, and she's joining us from New York City. So welcome, Tova, to Mom Talk Radio.
Well, thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about, you know, why this subject for you? You have so much expertise in so many areas. Why did you embrace this one?
Well, you know, I embraced it for a number of reasons. One is I have spent probably 30 years of my life working with young children, you know, toddlers and children up to about the age of 5 or 6. But I lived my life for the last 20 years as the director of a center for toddlers, working with parents and toddlers. And so I'm always immersed in this world and thinking about who are the toddlers, whether we're doing research or teaching students about them, working with parents. It's a perplexing world. And so this question always is, what is that toddler and what are they doing? And so through that work, it just became clear over many years that with all the information out there, one of the most misunderstood ages and the most challenging ages for parents is this 2 to 5 age range. And so that really sparked me to say, you know, we actually do know a lot about this age range. And if you understand even a little bit about what their world is about, I could help parents feel more confident as a parent and really cut down on the kind of conflicts that we all experience with young children.
And I agree with you. I think that sometimes we view like, oh, the teen years are a mystery or the tween years, but it is kind of that time of a child's life when maybe the second baby comes along and now the focus is back in on babyhood and the toddler kind of drifts through toddlerhood. But I'm wondering, since you've been in that space for so many years, yesterday we had a conversation going on among some of my friends who are millennial moms and have toddlers about how it's changed. And I was wondering, what do you see the biggest change is? Is it technology and that 2 and 3 year olds are playing with iPads now?
You know, it's a good question to ask. And, you know, people often ask this question, you know, have toddlers changed? And the truth is that, you know, as humans, we don't evolve that quickly. And what toddlers need and who they are haven't changed. What's changed is everything around them. So the pressures on parents, the knowledge that we have out there, technology is certainly a piece of that. I think probably the important shift, and that's kind of the angle I was coming at with this book, is that there's so much information out there, and there is a lot of new science that can guide us, but what, so much gets thrown at parents, particularly new parents, that I think it gets very confusing. And then there's a lot of pressure to somehow do it right, as if there's only one right way. But we all know, I think if you step back, think about it, that there's lots of ways to show a child love, as long as it's loving and caring, and that there's not one right way to do most things, right? Every child needs love and comfort and somebody to count on, you know, a parent that they can really trust to love them in all their true colors, you know, good, bad, up, down. But how a parent shows that varies by parent.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what the confusion is that there's a lot of, I think, more pressure. And technology, for better or worse, makes our lives much more hectic, I think. And then the question much more recently is, should it be in the lives of young children? And I think even a bigger question is, what is the role of technology in a parent's life when they have young children? Because young children so need their parents to be present.
Right, right. Well, is there, like, I hear you saying that there's many different things that go into the success of that toddler parenting, but is there one or two things that in the next 3 minutes that you can, you know, really home in on and said, okay, if you miss everything else, don't miss
right.
this.
Here's what you need. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you miss everything else, here's what you need. One is to understand that these early years, the child's rate of growth, I mean, you know, not just physical growth, but that's a piece of it, that growth is the most rapid it's going to be in their life, right? And so brain development is moving quickly, so physical, social, so all of that is happening very fast. So what your child is doing from day to day is going to vary. And as a parent, if you can accept that your child is not a mini adult, but they're really a little, very little person struggling to figure out who they are, and that they have very little control of their emotions. They have a lot of emotions, but they have very little control of it. And we as parents can help them by stepping back, staying calm with them, and accepting that sometimes they do great things and sometimes they don't. Then we really give our children the security of mommy or daddy is there for me no matter what. Even on the days that I have all those meltdowns, they still love me. And that's at the end of the day what a toddler really needs to feel.
Right, right.
It may have been a tough day, but I'm still loved.
That's right. So is there a website that folks can go to find your book or read more about you?
Yes. The website is howtoddlersthrive.com. And there's all information about toddlers, many of the challenges that parents face, and also access to the book, or they can buy it at any, you know, bookstore, online, et cetera.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And we have a link to the book on Mom Talk Radio as well. When we return, we're going to turn our attention to your children on the field and how you can protect them from concussions. So we're going to have a very important discussion on that when we return. Many of us have children who play sports. They're on the field, and a lot of attention these days have been put on concussion and how do you know if your child, if they're hit hard, has gotten a concussion, and you know, should they be back in the field? We're joined by a mom who has many children out on the field and has had experience on the field herself. Her name is Christy Johnson. She is from Southern California. She was raised in Southern California and is an RN working on her master's in nursing. More importantly, she is the mother of three and who are all very active in sports. And I thought it would be interesting to have a discussion just about that on, you know, what are the low-cost barriers to test your child on the sideline. You know, it seems like it's a no-brainer, Christy, but it's just not widely known out there that as moms, we can protect our children on the field. So welcome, first of all, to Mom Talk Radio, Christy Johnson, and I'm looking forward to the discussion. So welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So a lot of moms don't know, but there is actually low-cost testing that can be done on the side of the field if your child is hit hard and there's, you know, you're wondering, do they have a concussion and should they be back in the game?
Definitely. The King-Devick test is something that a lot of people may not be aware of. But if you have kids in sports, it definitely can give you some peace of mind. It's a sideline test that can be administered in less than 2 minutes. I think it runs just around $5 a athlete. And definitely it can be done by anyone on the sideline who's been trained to do it. So it doesn't take a medical professional. Any mom or coach or anyone who's willing to be trained to give it can do that. And it gives you immediate feedback on whether or not the child should be removed from play, which is huge. And it's also completely objective, so they can't fake it. They can't deny symptoms that are really there.
Right.
It's really huge.
And from what I understand, the Mayo Clinic has just put their name on that. And I'm just wondering, you know, how easy is it really and to use and what makes it different than some of the others that are out there?
Well, it's definitely easy. It's basically giving a number test. It's a series of cards, and you can have either regular cards or you can use an iPad app that you can just go through. The child will go through and read numbers that are wrapped, you know, as fast as they can, and you time them on that. And then the huge part about it is this is actually a move from play tool as opposed to a return to play tool, which a lot of the tools that you may see out there are mainly return to play tools. So this would mean that the child has already received a concussion and now you're just trying to be able to get them to find out when they can return to play. So the fact that the King-Devick test is used to decide when an athlete should be removed from play is important because this is where we can really protect our children and ensure that they're not continuing to play with an undiagnosed concussion or a silent concussion, which even a physician can't diagnose. So it's been able to pick that up as well. So I think that, and as well as being able to prevent secondary concussions, which is very devastating, and that's when a child is continuing to play with the symptoms of a previous concussion and they get hit again. And we've seen kids actually die from that. So it's very scary. So I think it's definitely huge.
So Christy, you mentioned it's inexpensive. You know, it's got the endorsement of the Mayo Clinic. Our schools aren't doing it for us. So moms really need to stand up and act and maybe take the information to the school. So where can they go to find out more information and how do they do that?
They can definitely go to kingdevictest.com.
Well, we have a link to the websites on Mom Talk Radio. I'm hoping that you'll go and check it out, moms, because I have to tell you, as a mother who's been in the back of an ambulance with a child that's been hit on a football field, it's not a good feeling to wonder, do they have a concussion and should they have come out earlier? Thank you so much, Christy, for being with us today and bringing this important information to moms. And we want to remind you to check out rfptesting.com. I'm Maria Bailey, and I'm excited that you were here with me this week. I'm looking forward to next week where we're going to have another Mom Talk Radio. But in between, go follow me on Twitter and continue the conversation. It's always a pleasure to have you and share some of your day with me or to share some of the day together. I'm Maria Bailey, and we'll see you next week.